First question, what do you say about a person who says that the people who are making takfir of the leaders are only speaking the haq? So what is wrong with that?
الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على النبي مصطفى. Two things before I approach to the question. First of all, when I said that the alim or today many people are having some kind of education like PhD or whatever and different fields than the Sharia, they are now been raised like the ulama of the ummah. I don't mean that if you are not a person who graduate of Sharia University, you cannot be alim or talib al-ilm. No. Get me wrong in there. But I mean this is what's happening today. As long as you have PhD or some other education, or even some of them, not necessarily to have a PhD, but they have, mashallah, a sweet tongue. They know how to, bend the text. But it is not necessarily to be, as I said, somebody who is a graduate of Islamic University, so you become a talib al-ilm or alim. We know that, for example, from amongst the tabi'een, there are not even the sahaba. The sahaba, as Abu Huraira when Umar ibn Khattab called him and said, why you are the one who brings the hadith the most amongst the sahaba? He said, well, Umar, you know that the muhajireen were more involved in business and the Ansar were involved in cultivation and farming. But I am a person who free himself for seeking the knowledge from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said that the Muhajirin were busy in business and business trips. Umar himself used to have a business with some other partner. So one day Umar goes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and seek the knowledge. The partner is running the business. The other day, they swap. So this doesn't mean that they are not tulab ilm or ulama or no. But the problem is, when the person is using his degree without seeking knowledge with any of the scholars to show that I'm somebody. That is the problem, and the defect comes from there. Otherwise, we have Abu Salih Dhakwan Salman al-Ziyad. He's not like this. If you go to the books of Rijal of Hadith, you see, Abu Salih Dhakwan, As-Samman al-Ziyad. Samman al-Ziyad means that the one who sells ghee and oil. Why? Because this was his business. But he is from amongst the ulama. We have al-Bazzar, because he used to sell spices. Al-Bazzar, who used to sell clothes. And the like, many. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to work as a carrier in a caravan. So to feed himself, he never did. So it's not a shame to be somebody who is working in a field. Sheikh Albani, we all know that Sheikh Albani was a watch repairman. And that's no problem. So it is no problem to have a job, mechanic, mason, whatever it is. But the important thing, you seek the ilm through the proper channel. It's not because of your degree and then you go and take a book, memorize some hadith, memorize some ayat, and come to the people and say, I'm alim. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Wallahu a'lam. And, for example, we have Sheikh Fawzan has PhD in Sharia. Rav Sheikh Uthaymeen has only baccalaureate. Rav Sheikh Ibn Baz, he doesn't even have intermediate school certificate. But see, Albani the same. See, now when you go, when you put them in order, perhaps Albani and Ibn Baz on the top. And it doesn't mean that the others are, yani, in a way, but they are the imams of the time. And then Sheikh Uthaymeen, who is the faqih of his time. Sheikh Fawzan, who is the, mashallah, brilliant scholar of his time. But it doesn't necessarily yani mean that you have a certificate or an indication of certain thing, then you become a sheikh. There are many people who carry PhDs in Sharia, they are more corrupted than others. And yani, it caused a real yani, big defect amongst the Ummah. The other thing is, an advice to you, brothers. I said in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, there are two qualities or two kinds, as the Prophet ﷺ said, of the survived people. One is the ulama, one is tulab al-ilm. Everyone has his level. Questions always to go to the ulama. Tulab al-ilm is only to teach you from what they learned. From what they learned. Tulab al-ilm are not people who yani can be in position of ulama. No, no. We have to defer. We have to defer. So my first of all, my request is, if I, inshallah ta'ala, visit you next time, no questions and answers except in our subject which we taught or we talked about. And this is the request. The advice, always, and alhamdulillah, this masjid is well known with the contact with the ulama. And you have, inshallah, Sheikh Dr. Abdul Najib, inshallah, khair, and the ulama. Here in the masjid, mashallah, this masjid is well known to the ulama because they have, mashallah, link with them. Keep the questions, and I suggest for the brothers in the masjid to put a box there, box of questions. Put the questions and they raise them to the ulama, and then they can approach you with the answers. That is better. So we say, maybe a person like me, I'm not having that knowledge. So I can't answer the, respond to the questions. And then, yani, I think I did something good to you. So you need to act the, yani, the way with me. I try to survive you, don't put me in the trap. Questions, to me, is a trap for the rats. There, I'll be caught. Not because, yani, because yani, these need a lot of fiqh to look into them and bring the answer. Wallahu a'lam. It says, what do you say about... Now, the takfir. Ya ikhwan, everyone has his own matter. Takfir is position of the ulama. It's not for us. It's not for us. We should not interfere into that. Yani feel. We should only refer it back to the ulama. We should refer it back to the ulama. They will know. As we say, فَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَنْبَطُونَهُمْ. So we have to go back to the ulama. I don't know, I'm very wondering why people insist to interfere into such kind of things. Ya akhi, if you ask this man who wants to do takfir, not the one who raised the question. I'm sure the one who raised the question is yani from our brothers, but he's asking yani about those people. If you bring those people, whether they make takfir or tabdiyah or whatever, you ask them, wallahi, if you want me to sit the challenging, I can sit it anywhere you want. You ask them, tell me Arkan al-Islam. Immediately, oh, five. Arkan al-Iman, six. Tell him, okay. Tell me the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Tell me the things invalidate La ilaha illallah. He doesn't know. One, two only. One, two things. And I have really put this test forward in Saudi in many mosques. And I said, okay, away from this, ikhwan. Now something you practice five times a day. Tell me, what is the difference between a condition, an obligation, a sunnah of the salah? Tell me, how can it differ between them? How you know that this is condition, this is not? What are the conditions? What are the pillars? What are the... They get shocked. And wallahi, in many mosques, all the audience cooperated and said permission to cooperate, bring me the answer. All of them, in the field of pillars, you know, we have 14 pillars of salah, in the field of pillars, all the masjid, mashallah, cooperated and brought me 8. I said, mashallah, you all are praying. You don't know the pillars of prayer? Inshallah. And we start involved in the matters, the major matters of the ummah. Major matters of the ummah. Everyone needs to know his limit and go to it. Allah won't ask you about the rulers. Allah won't ask you about the scholars. Allah won't ask you about your neighbor. Allah won't ask you about your mother. Allah will ask you about yourself. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Everyone has his own matter of their resurrection. In the grave, the angels won't ask you, what did the king say about Allah? They will ask you, what do you say? What do you say about Muhammad? What is your religion? What is your... You need to prepare yourself for that. So take my advice, and yani, I think this is the answer for this question.
Next question: what is the ruling? What is the ruling for the Prophet who misses Jummah prayer because of work, and the workplace is in the locality of the masjid?
And it's near the masjid. So why he missed it then? If it is near the masjid, why he missed it? I'm afraid that he's taking it as an excuse or to miss. Except if he did his best and missed it, the ulama say that to Abu al-Hadith, who misses 4 Jum'ah prayers in sequence, well, as I remember 4, Allah Alam. Doctor? Salat? وثلاثة لا يمكن أن يكون أقل من واحد. 3 Fridays. Okay. Then he is out of the parameter of Islam. Intentionally. He left them intentionally. But in this country and the like, we know that Friday is a working day. And maybe he is not permitted to go. If it is the case, and his work is every time Friday is working, my advice to him, leave your work. Find another work. If they don't allow you to go for Jum'ah prayer. Because you are not allowed to build dunya and destroy akhirah. You are not allowed to do so. But Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was asked about this. Somebody who is a guard, and the term this Friday is for him to guard. He cannot go to the masjid. The Sheikh said he cannot leave. The property or the territory without guard. So this kind of man will pray Dhuhr. Will pray Dhuhr. The ones who are working, for example, the air traffic controllers, who cannot say, all of you come down and let the planes crash each other, and it's not logic, you know. People who work in places where they cannot, all of them leave. For example, in control rooms of electric companies or the like, you know, they cannot just leave it. Big problems will occur, you know. So in such cases, he is excused, but not, as we said, to be a habit. Every Friday, oh, I have excuse. No. You have to change your shift. If the company doesn't allow, then you have to leave that company. Find another job. And maybe you would say, Shaykh, inshallah, you want me to go and be? And so you say, no. But remember what Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Talaq or Tahreem, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you leave it for the sake of Allah, you fear Allah, that you want to please Allah by salah, but they don't want you to go, then Allah Ta'ala will find you, inshallah, good job and a better job than that. And when we say a better job, it doesn't mean to be the chief or the manager of that, maybe a guard, but Allah will send happiness to your heart. Allah will send down happiness to your heart. Maybe there you were very worried, but now Allah sent convenience, and so you are very happy. But be sure that Allah will find your way. Anyway, if somebody missed the Jum'ah accidentally, okay? For example, a man from the local area took shower and he's preparing himself to come, but he had diarrhea. Every time he gets ready, he feels that he needs to back again and back again and back again. We don't say, come even you make it here. This kind of person is permitted, and it depends on the circumstance. But like this, just plain answer, okay, go, or okay, not to go, this is not logic. This can be judged by your imam, a local imam. He can tell you after he go through the circumstance that you are showing. Wallahu a'lam.
Is it permissible for a woman on her menses or postnatal bleeding to read Quran?
This is a issue has different opinions of the scholars, but not that, like that man I told you. It's true, has different opinions. Some of the scholars said, or majority of the scholars said, that the woman in menses cannot recite Quran directly from the book, but they can use a burqa, like if she wore gloves, or if she used something to turn the pages. And that they said, if she is fearing that she forgets Quran, or if she is studying in a Quran school, she cannot be absent the period of menses or after delivery, then she can do it this way. Some others said she cannot recite it under any circumstance, even from memory. Some others said she can recite Quran whatsoever the circumstances, and directly from the book, and she can touch the book. And by this we thought today wasatiyya, balancing. So to become balanced, we see the balance in these three things. The balance is, the woman can recite Quran. If she is memorizing, no doubt she can recite. If she is not memorizing, she needs to recite from the book, no problem, but not to touch the book directly. The other thing is, if she wants to read some books that consist of ayah, like the dhikr of morning and evening, or books of tafsir, the ulama said, no problem to go and touch, because these books are not Quran. These books are not Quran. She still can read. Wallahu a'lam.
Next question, Shaykh. The Muslims today are very weak. What is the solution for this?
Is very weak in what?
Very weak.
In body?
Weak.
Weak in body or in iman?
I assume both. This is weak. So in terms of being overpowered by the kuffar.
Wallahi, if he is weak, in health, in body, he needs to see a doctor, medicine doctor. But if he is weak in iman, and he feels that he falls into sins, I ask him to seek a lot of forgiveness. Second, Don't forget obligating Allah. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept asking Allah the guidance, what about me and you? We need to ask even more. These two are the remedy of weakness in iman. And if you can, do as much as you can from good deeds. For example, Silatul Arham, have a connection with your relatives, obeying your parents. This will affect and increase in your iman. Any kind of good deed you do will increase a little bit of your iman, until you reach a limit that makes you able to go and go to the mosque early. Then you increase. Then, mashallah, you find yourself more and more in iman till the limits that you don't want to stop worshipping. By that, inshallah, you can reach. Allah.
It has been said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, his burial was delayed. What is the reason or correct understanding about this?
It was because some of the Sahaba were not around, and they waited for all of them to, or most of them to come. Then they washed the body, and then they left a chance for everyone to come and have the last salam and last look to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they buried him. No any other reason behind that. And for the time they prepared the grave for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in the house of Aisha, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we, the Prophet, must be buried where we died. So it maybe there were some ready graves in the Baqir, but he died in the house of Aisha, he must be buried there. So it takes time until to prepare. These, to me, these are the reasons behind it. I don't know if there are any other reasons, Allah Allah.
Please can you give your views on what happened in Lebanon? Is Hezbollah on the correct path from an Islamic point of view? Do you know what they are trying to achieve?
First of all, as I said before, I reminded, be involved in your matter. Wallah, if every Muslim corrected himself, what is the population of Muslims? It's over 1 billion, over 1 billion Muslims. If everyone corrected himself, and we become very humble, we come to a time which is better than the time of the Sahaba. Because the Sahaba humbled themselves, and there were only a few, 100,000 Sahaba. But we are over 1 billion. If all 1 billion become, mashallah, upon good iman, like the iman of the Sahaba, ya akhi, wallahi, the angels will come and shake hands with us. But the problem is, I don't want to look into my mistakes. I don't want anybody to tell me my mistakes. I just want only to go with others. If we all corrected our sins, then inshallah ta'ala the matter will be inshallah okay. In the matter of what's happening to the Muslims anywhere, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, Iraq, anywhere, you are involved in that. But how? With dua. Dua is the weapon that the Muslims do not know or do not have the correct belief towards it. Many Muslims do not use because they know, but they don't have the correct belief towards it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr did not participate in the fights. What did he used to do? He stood from the beginning until the end. Even Abu Bakr in the middle came and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah will give you what He promised you. But he did not listen to Abu Bakr. He continued asking Allah, Oh Allah, You promised what You gave me. Allah likes this from us. So we need to subligate, but how? What? Don't subligate in names of individuals or parties. Say, oh Allah, support and send your mercy upon every Muslim that worships you alone and follows your messenger Muhammad SAW. This will reach anybody. If these people in Lebanon, whether Hezbollah or the others, are on the truth, on the haq, Allah will give them what you ask. If they are not, no way Allah will achieve them what you ask. And if suppose we all here ask Allah to forget it, that Allah send mercy upon Hezbollah. And Allah knows that Hezbollah are worshipping the shayateen, awliya, not themselves shayateen. I don't mean that the Ahlul Bayt are shayateen, but I mean, Allah said that this is taghut. When you exceed the limit with the wali, to make him as a god, this is taghut, taghiyat. So they are worshipping other than Allah. Do you think that Allah will respond to your subjugation and send victory? Ya akhi, Allah said, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah, when the Prophet ﷺ asked him to permit him to seek forgiveness for his mother, Allah said no, prevented him from that. So no matter, even if you ask Allah to send victory upon so and so, if he is not with Allah, he won't get the victory. He won't. Make sure. So better to concentrate your dua, saying, oh Allah, those who worship you alone and follow your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and love your companions and believers, the companions of your Prophet and the believers, send mercy upon them, then inshallah it will reach them wherever they are. Maybe there are some honest worshippers and places you don't know. You don't say, ask Allah to support them. By this, as in Tashahud, you say, Naam wa ibadallah as-salihin. The ulama said, by this, your da'wah will reach anybody who has this character or this characteristics. He is wali, he is salih, it will reach him. That's my opinion about that. And about Hezbollah, the ulama said, you can go back to the fatwa of Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, Salah al-Haydan, Abdullah al-Ghudayyan, and the like. They have fatwa on this party. You can see what they said. But leave the emotion and be serious. This is deen. This is deen. This is religion. If Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah killed his father in Badr, what is religion? Umar ibn Khattab told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the battle finished and they have some arrested kuffar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I see that you give every one of us his relative from the kuffar and ask him to kill him. Allah in the end of Surah Al-Mujadala, you go back and see what he said about loyalty and love. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the Khawarij, who are not worshipping other than Allah. As Ali said when he was asked, are the Khawarij kuffar? He said, min al-kufri farru. Some scholars say that they are kuffar, but majority say that they are not kuffar. They are mu'tadeen, balimeen, oppressors. But the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا لَقِيتُهُمْ لَأَقْتُلَنَّهُمْ قَتْلَ عَادٍ وَثَمُونَ. If I see them, I will kill them the way Ad and Thamud were killed. And then he said, مَنْ قَتَلَهُمْ فَلَهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَمَنْ قَتَلُوهُ فِي النَّارِ. Who killed them will have this much and much reward. And who is killed by them is a martyr. Shaheed. Fil Jannah. So this about the Khawarij. What about those who curse the Sahaba, curse the... And lately, I seen that their head said that the Wahhabiyya are not from amongst the Muslims. Allahu A'lam.
What is the ruling for brothers who pray in their trousers and shirts, which expose their aura when they go to ruku and sujood? Is this prayer accepted?
First of all, Allah Ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. يا بني آدم. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. So now Allah Ta'ala is commanding us to يعني, beautify ourselves by the way we dress, يعني, dress nicely, and maybe some people would say, okay, this is the best dressing we use. We say then, the ulama has different opinions on the matter of praying in trousers. Some of the ulama said it is forbidden. Whether it exposes the private part or body of the awra, part of the awra, or it doesn't. As long as it shades the awra, then it is not permissible to pray in. Some others say no, it is permissible, but it is not advisable. However, both of them say that if any part of the awra is exposed, then the salah is invalid. If he knows about it and left it to, yani, to have it, let it to have it, or he knows from the beginning that this kind of thing might happen, but he still insisted to pay with the trousers, then his salah is invalid. But again and again, I see hangers here, but I don't know why, maybe it's only for coats. Okay, in Canada, I saw something good. The brothers there in Masjid al-Aqsa in Montreal having hangers like this by the door, and they are hanging thobes on it. Waqf lillah. Anybody brings one, and so the people, when they come to pray, they put on their thobes and pray, then they put, take them off, hang them there, and go to their work. So I suggest that the people do like that. Maybe somebody say, oh, this is an innovation. No, it's not. It's not an innovation. It's kind of, yani, the people need to do, yani, something to pray in a good way. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, so the last question.
Jazakallah.
Question is, I hit my young daughter in a state of anger which left a mark on the side of her face. What is the expiation for the sin? May Allah reward you with much good.
Allah musta'an. Hits the daughter. If he said I hit the son, I would say also Allah musta'an, but the son can't defend. Akhi, this is not the way you treat your daughter. The daughter is the protection of fire. The Prophet said, whomsoever is given ibtila by having this children, the girls, and raise them in good, except that they would be a barrier for him from the fire, protection from the fire. Among the Sahaba, a man asked, Ya Rasulullah, what about two? He said, even two. A woman said, Ya Rasulullah, one. He said, even one. So, the girl is the protection for you from the fire. Is this the way you treat her? هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. You need, first of all, to control over your anger. To me, you are somebody who is yani letting his anger to go and exceed all the limits. If you slap your daughter, tell it, let's mark, what are you going to do with people outside in the street? The Prophet ﷺ was asked, give me an advice, Ya Rasulullah. He said, لا تغضب, don't be angry. Again and again, three times he said, لا تغضب, don't get angry. And he ﷺ said, ليس الشديد بالسرعة, the strong man is not the one who beats and wrestling. But the strong man is the one who can control his anger. That is the strong man. That is the strong man. So we need to understand these things, Ikhwan, especially with the children, with the wife. And unfortunately, wallahi, I received many calls from UK, from sisters, saying that one of them was crying and said that her husband used to be in Jahiliyyah a bachelor. So he has a big body, mashallah. So he used to box her. Allah, what is that?